We've been reading through Paul's letter to the Colossians together, and last week we looked at how Paul was encouraging the Colossians that they should live a cut above, that they should display different values to their society. He's going to speak today to the home, which I thought would be appropriate, and glad that it falls on Mother's Day, and also to the church, the kind of behaviors and virtues and character traits we should be displaying within our own circle of church and family. And don't bother to open the Pew Bible, because I'm going to be reading from the Message translation this morning, and it's going to differ in its wording remarkably. Peterson tried to write in such outstanding phraseology that it would just catch the reader, and they'd catch the meaning immediately. So hear this translation of Paul's letter to the Colossians, beginning in the 3rd chapter, the 12th verse, and listen to the Word of God. So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and as completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other and in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. Cultivate thankfulness. And let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing. Sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master, Jesus, thanking God, the Father, every step of the way. Wives, understand and support your husbands by submitting to them in ways that honor the Master. Husbands, go all out in love for your wives. Don't take advantage of them. Children, do what your parents tell you. This delights the Master no end. Parents, don't come down too hard on your children, or you'll crush their spirits. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we indeed pray that the word of Christ would have the run of the house in our lives today. Amen. Our middle child, who works in the financial community in Boston, is always doing me a favor. He likes to evaluate my wardrobe for me. Dad, don't you know anything? You can't wear a black belt with brown shoes. Pleated pants are out, for heaven's sakes. And don't you know that you can wear more than white shirts with a tie? Dark shirts are in. Of course, this is the same child that went off to first grade wearing something outlandish, and we said, son, you won't see anybody wearing that, and he said, after they see me, they will. How did such a trend breaker like me give birth to such a trendsetter? That's the mystery of childbirth. Well, how we dress embarrasses our children or will draw their notice and praise, and they're probably not the only ones watching us. We know that we need to dress for success or dress to impress. If we're going on an interview, if we're trying to meet a client for the first time, if we want to make a good impression, we often get that which looks good and makes us look even better when we wear it. When we go home at night, when we're in the comfort of our own homes, how do we dress? We dress for comfort and convenience. We kick off those painful shoes that pinch us. We take off those fabrics that wrinkle too easily or are too tight on us, and take off that tie that constricts our necks. Our wardrobe at home is not dressed to impress, it's maximized for comfort and for convenience. Our wardrobe at work is what gets the visual impact. But how we dress became a metaphor that Paul used for how we conduct ourselves in this world today. How many of us still put on our best behavior outside the home, serving clients, giving our energies to our coworkers, doing our best all day long, and then what do? Come home, kick back, relax, sort of let it all hang out. If we have family, we're reconnecting to at night. Are we saving our best for them, or do we sort of give them what's left over and expect to kind of be, just given that time to just sort of put our feet up and recharge for the next day? The third chapter to Colossians, Paul was advising that we do the opposite of what many of us are doing. It doesn't matter how busy you are. In fact, remember, he was speaking to people who might have been busier than we are, because they had to haul every drop of water they used every day. They had to find every piece of wood they cooked with every day. They had to take the food and manufacture it, probably from the growing to the milling to the finally preparing it every day. And he said to them, put on these civilizing graces every morning. So first century, 21st century, this wardrobe's not quite out of style. Dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. See, God's already picked out our clothes. We don't get to go to the wardrobe and decide what we feel like wearing. God has the things that suit us best. He has those things he wants us to dress in. God has something new for us to try on. And it's not always easy to trust someone else to dress you. Remember, on our fifth wedding anniversary, I did something I rarely do. I surprised my wife. And I took her out to dinner. That wasn't the surprise. And on the way home, her sister was watching our daughter. I bought champagne, and she thought, oh, how nice. We'll share champagne with my twin sister and before she heads home. But we didn't pull off where we should have pulled off. And I kept going. She goes, what's going on? And I just was smiling. You see, I had arranged for the sister to watch not only our daughter for dinner, but for the whole night. And I had left instructions. And so finally, when she relaxed and realized that she was captive, she says, yeah, but I didn't pack anything. What do I wear? I packed for you. You wear what I pack. She's still worried. But we just went up the road to Gloucester, Mass, and had a beautiful evening by the sea. And it was just one of those memorable nights. But it's not always easy just not packing for ourselves. We know what we like to wear. But God has packed for us. God's picked out our wardrobe. Compassion. Suffering with others. Being willing to extend ourselves emotionally for those who are hurting. Being kind and being humble. Not putting ourselves first, but putting others first before our needs. And being disciplined with quiet strength. That's really being patient. Being under control. I love this text. It's a great one. It's often read at weddings. And I remind the couple that God is giving you a new wardrobe, just as people often go and buy new things to wear on their honeymoon and to wear into their married life together. God wants them to wear these virtues, whatever family background they came from. If they came from impatient places or if they're not really full of compassion, God's chosen new things for them to learn, new ways to dress, new attire to bring to this Christian family they're forming. And so it's a great thing for us to remember. And Paul said, no wardrobe ever malfunctions when you add love to it. I love what he said. Your basic all-purpose garment is love. Never be without it. Men, it's like the blue blazer. Works in a lot of occasions. Women, it's like the little black dress. Starting point to build all wardrobes upon. Love is the basic dress that we wear. Let's think about for a moment how these attitudes can change our lives if we wear them. Because Paul didn't want them just worn in the home. They were to be worn in the church and worn outside in society. The other day I was waiting in one of those long lines you can get in traffic around here, and they let six cars through and then the light turns and then six cars through and the light turns. So the cars are all backed up. But there's always this shortcut lane called the turning lane where people don't get to go straight through. Well, I had waited for the sequence of lights, and all of a sudden, pulling up beside me, and I'm pretty sure it was a female driver, as soon as the light turned green, she cuts from the turning lane right in front of me and goes on through. And the passenger with me said, honk your horn. I said, why? Maybe she's in a hurry. Maybe she has to get to the hospital. Maybe her child is late at school, and she has to get there and pick them up. I said, have compassion. We don't understand the circumstance. Well, maybe you're like me and you say, no, she's just in a hurry and couldn't wait her turn. Well, it depends on the attitude we have. And if we have compassion and patience, we can think of instances that might justify what is seemingly rude behavior. Clothe yourselves with graces. Lowers your blood pressure. Helps you get through. Makes you more pleasant to be with. These are comfortable clothes for us to wear. Paul's letter was written to the Christian community so they would look different than the people they were living among. He wanted them to have something new and compelling. He also wanted their homes to be different. The Christian home was to preach the gospel. And so they were to practice these things in their home. Sometimes when I do wedding rehearsals, I like to have people introduce themselves because the two families and friends haven't all met each other, and I'll ask them to share, you know, who they're related to, bride or groom, and do they have one piece of advice for the couple? And the friends will have something humorous to share, you know, like he snores, you know, from the roommate or other things. But usually the grandparents and parents have the pearls of wisdom. I remember one couple said, never go to bed angry with each other. Good advice. Remember another woman saying, always put lipstick on before your husband comes home. Other good advice. Pete Horton, the pastor of this church from the 40s to the 70s, one who was here when this sanctuary was built, used to take couples in his study. And one individual told me, I remember the two words of advice Dr. Horton gave me, even though it was 50 years ago. He said, number one, your mate will never meet all of your needs. Never live up to all your expectations. And number two, there'll never be enough money. Good words for Fairfield County. Never enough in your mate, never enough in your money. And we need to enter marriage while we have extremely high hopes and expectations. We need to remember what Paul said, forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. Every marriage needs two good forgivers. Remember when we were newly married and starting out in parish life, and I would work until I thought it was time to come home, and sometimes my wife would call me at the end of the day, when will you be home? The toddlers have been with her, it had been a long day. And I usually would underestimate what I had left, and I'd say, oh, about an hour, and then I'd come in the door an hour and a half later, and she was already quite frustrated and wondering why it had taken so long, and I didn't understand that she couldn't somehow divine that I had that last-minute phone call or that agenda that had built up, and I thought she should just be forgiving. Well, two counselors later and several other meetings, I learned that there are some behaviors I could do that would help the situation. Number one, I could call home at 5, tell her how I'm doing, find out how her day is, and maybe sometimes choose to push off the meeting or the agenda or the church business and help at home. Number two, I learned to always tell her half an hour longer than I thought I was going to get home. And it was better to surprise her by being early than to stretch her by being late. So men, if that helps you, you can just put the money I saved you from counseling in the plate next week, okay? Paul told the women, support your husbands with your submission. And lots of wives, I think, in this area do that. They put up with long work schedules, travel schedules. Never let us know how much grace it takes to adjust. But Paul never was one-sided. He told men and women, they both had a project here. He told parents and children, they each had a project. And what I didn't read for you is he told slaves and masters, they each had a side to work with. And so Paul was making sure that we all knew our position. For men, he said, go all out in love for your wife. Don't take advantage of them. Go all out in love. And men, I just want to say, that isn't just good advice for your marriage, that's good advice for your health. German psychologists and physicians and insurance companies came together. They cooperated on a project to find out, what is it that makes men live longer and have better health? Do you know what they found? They found that a group of men had greater health, fewer automobile accidents, 5 years greater longevity of life, and 20 to 30% more income. And do you know how all these benefits accrued to these men? These men were ones who kissed their wives every morning before going to work. Somehow that positive start with affection makes the day healthier and holier. And as Paul said, over all things put on love. And he could have said, wear this and it's good for your health. Now Paul didn't leave out children, but he said to them, well, children, you do need to obey your parents. Parents, you need to make sure you don't crush the spirits of your children. He also said earlier, let the word of Christ have the run of the house. Sing songs, sing it to God. And I don't know if you've participated in Vacation Bible School or not in recent years, but one of the great things they do is they teach the children to sing these very memorable songs, and then they give them a CD, so those songs get played over and over and over again. In fact, I can still repeat some of the ditties that were sung in my house when my children were in Vacation Bible School, but it's a great way to let the word of Christ have the run of the house. It's a great way to let God be sung to in the midst of our family life. You know, children, if they're grown and raised, there's not much else we can do except to love them and encourage them. But those of us who have aging parents, we can still listen to Paul's words. We can care for them, respect them, learn from their lessons, watch out for them. And those of us with children either in our home or in our life, remember, we're not supposed to just give them higher and higher expectations to meet. We're supposed to encourage them, not crush their spirits. There is that bumper sticker that always kind of reminds me, be kind to your children, remember they're going to pick your nursing home. That's a scary thought. The Christian home was to preach the gospel. And husbands and wives, when they put Christ first and they put others second and themselves last, something holy and healthy starts happening. And that's to happen with our children as well, and that's to happen in our church as well. And we're to let these certain new virtues govern our lives. Paul didn't give laws and rules to the Christian community. He gave principles and virtues that work in any and all cultures. Clothe yourselves with compassion and with love and with kindness and with humility, discipline. Love and respect are able to grow in these environments. Forgiveness, peace comes from that. Where love and respect are absent, often all hell breaks loose. There was a man in England named John Starkey. He was a notorious criminal. He had murdered his wife. He was convicted of the crime, and he was executed by the state. And the general of the Salvation Army, William Booth, was asked to conduct his funeral. And who would come to the funeral of such a known killer? Well, it was just his notorious crowd that he hung with. And so Booth looked out on the most unsavory crowd he ever had to address, and his first words grabbed their attention and spoke to their hearts. John Starkey, Booth began, never had a praying mother. Booth saw the difference the absence of faith can make. Paul commended the presence of faith in the home, the presence of a praying mother and a praying father, of a practicing Christian faith in what we do. We're to dress ourselves in that wardrobe that's never gone out of fashion, the wardrobe that Jesus himself was dressed in, compassion, kindness, humility, strength, discipline, classic virtues, classic styles. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that these are garments you've woven for us through your Holy Spirit. And so allow us, we pray, to have whatever behaviors that come natural to us be replaced and clothed by these garments. Allow us, we pray, to be people of grace, forgiveness, love, compassion. And thank you that you've displayed all these things to us so that we might learn from you and learn to wear these clothes with pride. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.